Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I'm your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous, talented, and wonderful co-host, Tony Boucher. We are excited to be back. We have a great show lined up for you today. We have Susan Callahan from the Lowcountry Autism Foundation, who will join us shortly. I'm excited to talk to her about what motivates her to do what she does. But before we get to Susan, let's get you caught up on the past week that was for Tony and I. Tony, what have you been up to? I know you were pretty busy last week for sure.
Yeah, and actually, after I did the networking meeting before our last show, my week kind of settled down, and I've actually been working on organizing another meeting for families who are interested in getting their adult kids on the spectrum into their own independent living situations. There's an opportunity if you have an adult in our area anyway who has a lot of really intense needs and a lot of supports need to be in place for that person to live independently, then there are resources for those folks. But if you've got a son or a daughter who needs a little bit of support in order to be successful, but it doesn't look critical, then there's not a lot out there. So we've got a lot of families in this area who are wanting to come together and meet and see how they can pool their resources and independent living situations. So that's pretty exciting. I've been working on that. How about you, Eli?
Well, I have a tournament this week, so I'm back in action this week.
Yay.
I'm excited about that. The weather here has been pretty frightful, I must say. Although today is pretty good, so I think the rest of the week is going to be okay. So it'll allow me to get out and definitely really work hard on some things that I'm trying to piece together. So I'm excited about that. I can also confirm that on Friday, August the 24th, my charity golf event will be played at Jefferson Park once again. I'm excited about that. I spoke with the organizer, and we're excited to be back, and hopefully we'll have great weather. And this year I'm going to be able to play in it. I'm excited about that. After not playing in my charity event for 5 years, you know, I think – I got tired of just taking pictures and interacting with the guys. I'd rather be out there playing with them, and proceeds from the event will go to Team Winfrey as we continue to try to uplift our community and help kids on the spectrum, as well as helping out the homeless and low-income families. So I'm excited about that. I do want to shout out real quickly Patrick Ackerman and Josh Andrews. They run the Snohomish Valley Golf Center here in Washington State, and I know both of them pretty well, really good friends with both of them. Josh is a first tee coach. He works in schools. He does a tremendous job with kids. I think just being around Josh motivates me to be a better person. His energy is infectious, and I'm so happy for him. Patrick, I coached with him one time at the first tee. Patrick is a PGA teaching professional, and he does an amazing job with kids and adults. So I encourage everybody to get out there to get a lesson and to listen to these guys, because they know what they're talking about. I hope to get out and practice there in the summertime just to catch up with them. But I'm proud of them. They do great work, and they are to be commended for the things that they are accomplishing in their life. So I just wanted to shout them out real quick. And before we get to our guest, Tony, I also – would like to announce that my co-host has written a book, a fabulous book, and portions of the proceeds will go to Team Winfrey. Autism Translated is the title, Tony, and I am very proud and very honored. When my director, Julie Angsty, reached out to me and told me the news, I was speechless. And so I had to text you to not really confirm, but kind of just, you know, let you know that I really appreciate you doing that for us. It means a lot. So thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm happy to do it, and it's a good cause, and I feel honored to have the opportunity to support you in what you're doing. So thank you for letting me.
Now let's transition to our guest today, Tony. I know you know a lot about our guest, and I'm going to give you the floor. And I'll chime in from time to time, but as always, you find a way to connect and find these individuals who are doing fantastic things in the community, and getting them to come on is a real treat for not only us as hosts, but listeners as well. So with that, I'll let you take the floor.
Sure. Well, I'm really pleased to have Susan Callahan with us from the Lowcountry Autism Foundation. And Susan and I actually worked together as colleagues for the state of South Carolina, and she has since moved on to support this really neat organization as the executive director. And what I really love about what Susan and the Lowcountry Autism Foundation are doing right now is they look at what's going on in the community and see those gaps or those places where there are missing services or things that families are saying, we really would like to see this or we need this and it's not there. Susan is the person who says, okay, we're going to make it happen. So Susan, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to talk with you about some of the new projects that you've got going on. We're just really pleased to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was exciting.
Yeah. So could you tell us a little bit about what the Lowcountry Autism Foundation is? What is your mission, and what is it that you hope to accomplish in your role as executive director?
Mm-hmm. So we are a nonprofit that serves the Lowcountry of South Carolina, so the 11 lower coastal counties of South Carolina. We are housed right now in Charleston, and Charleston, Dorchester, Berkeley, and Beaufort are our top main counties that we serve. And our mission is we're just committed to enhancing the lives of individuals with autism, and we do that through a three-pronged approach, and that's through creating those programs that you talked about that are filling service gaps, spreading autism awareness, and then advocacy when it's needed. And so through that three-pronged approach, we hope to reach as many families as possible as early as we can in their autism journey, and then support them throughout their life or their family member's life, their child's life, that sort of thing. So right now our focus really is on finding the gaps in services, like you said, collaborating with other organizations that are doing their services well, and just hooking our families into those services, and then creating programs that fill the needs that families are telling us they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really like that, because there's no need to reinvent the wheel, is there? I mean, if you've got something that's already working, let's make sure that everybody knows that it's there. And so I really appreciate that about what you're doing. One of the things that we always like to talk about on this show is how our audience, we have an audience that's worldwide, can actually get inspiration from our guests and do something similar in their own communities. And so I would really be interested in you talking with us today a little bit about what that process is. How do you identify what the needs are? And then you don't operate on a big budget. You get creative, and I know you work a lot with people who offer what they have to make everything work. So can you talk with us a little bit about that? How do you make all this work on a pretty small budget and working with what you have?
Yeah, so my top tip for anybody trying to help any community is just network, 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 and collaborate. So, you know, I couldn't work off the budget that we have if we didn't have amazing community partners and other places willing to donate space, time, talent, and treasure to help us, push our mission forward. And so that is my biggest advice to anyone that's serving any population, is just network mm-hmm. within your community and outside of your population that you serve. So that's really been my focus in 2018, is branching out of our local autism network and our disability service providers, and really reaching out into the community and bringing other providers in that can benefit our families and our people that we're serving.
Oh, that's such a great tip, because that really makes the autism community part of the larger community, and then it gets us access to resources that we may not necessarily have in our tiny little world. So that's a really great idea. And people want to help, you know.
Absolutely. And people are so willing to help. If you just have to ask.
Yeah. So tell me, let's get a little more detailed and granulated with this. Can you share with us one of your, and you have a lot of projects, but take one of your projects mm-hmm. that you're working on right now, where that has actually happened, where you've been able to reach out, do the networking, have resources from other community members outside of the autism community to make something actually move forward. Can you talk to us about one of your projects where you've done that?
Absolutely, and I'll talk to you about our project that's going to launch, our project is going to launch very soon. So our newest project that's launching, and it's called Autism and Ohm. And Autism and Ohm is a parent-child cooperative yoga program that really focuses on promoting movement and meditation to promote calming, to decrease anxiety, to improve behaviors, and really empower parents and kids with autism to take tools that they use in, or tools that they learn in the yoga studio outside of the yoga studio to really enhance their lives and improve their lives within everyday living. So this program is funded by a group of venture capitalists in Charleston who put on a grant competition, and they are called Social Venture Partners. And so they pool their money together to fund nonprofit charity organizations and their programs. So similar to Shark Tank, we called it Nonprofit Shark Tank. So that's
how
we got
like
the funding
that.
For this program off the ground. Yeah, it was really cool. It was a really intense kind of one of the other participants called it an MBA, like Master's in Business Administration kind of compounded course within the 10 weeks that we were in there, because they really mentored us and helped us really narrow down our pitch and what our program was going to look like and how to make it sustainable while still benefiting our community. So off the jump, we collaborated with a whole new group of people. Some people had experience with autism, but most did not. So through that process, I was able to educate and advocate and spread awareness just through that process. Then jumping on board to getting the program off the ground, I had to reach out to our local yoga community, one I was not a part of already. So we had yoga instructors, studio owners, people that just have practiced yoga for a really long time that we needed to connect with. And we built our group of instructors, and they're all volunteering their time to this program because they are either a parent of someone with autism or they work within our autism community daily. So kind of jumped on board with this whole yoga community, and then that's just branched us out into a ton of other branches of this family tree. And now we have yoga studios donating equipment and space and time. We have local dance studios that are on board with supporting our program. And so it's really kind of been a grassroots effort, but branching out into all these little caveats of this community that we weren't a part of before. So Autism and Ohm will launch hopefully the beginning of May. We're still working on finishing up our instructor certification in their autism-specific yoga curriculum. But the community has really joined around us, and everyone has been so generous and open and welcoming for this program. So I'm really excited to see the benefit that it'll have for our families.
I am excited too, and we will want you to come back and talk about it once you've got it up and running and,
yes.
and you've seen the benefits. And, you know, that's like Eli and I talk sometimes about the benefits of getting our folks on the spectrum out on the golf course and how that can be such a great way to bring out the best in someone. It's relaxing, it's soothing, it helps to focus on certain skills. And yoga, what a great way to help develop some skills that these guys can take throughout their lives.
Love Absolutely. It. I totally agree. And honestly, I was so happy to hear you mentioned the First Tee, because we actually partner with the First Tee here locally to offer a summer class for our LAF families. And the first time I attended one of those classes, it really was one of those transformational moments when you saw our kids on the spectrum come out there with, you know, very little golf experience, some of them no golf experience. And by the end of just one day, they had made strides in not only golf skills, but social skills as well. So it was really inspirational. And we have pulled a lot of those kind of concepts and community outreach from our partnership with the First Tee as well. So I totally agree with you. I think that really finding, you know, healthy living, healthy aspects that we can incorporate into just kind of the everyday lives that isn't so therapeutic, I think is something a lot of families are looking for.
Mm-hmm. And focusing on the positive, you know, sometimes it's really easy for people to get caught on what's this child not doing or what skill do they need to develop because it's not there. And when you give a kid the opportunity to go into something like a yoga class or the First Tee, you don't know what you're going to find in terms of skill development or passion or interest. And even for those, you know, who are not, you know, going to maybe ever be master, you know, yoga kids, it's still, the research is really, I think, compelling that those skills really do help to lower cortisol. And I'm sure you have a lot of information on that that you did for your nonprofit Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Outstanding. My question to you, Susan, is how did you get started? What motivated you to do this? What's your passion?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, working with this population is my passion, and it really began at a really young age for me. I was grateful enough to be involved during my middle school years with a program where we pushed into the special education classrooms and acted as peer mentors. And so really that was my jumping off point. And I knew from a very young age that I wanted to work with this population. My interest in autism came during my graduate program, my social work graduate program, where I was introduced to autism. I was sent through trainings to really learn what autism was. But my passion to help families affected by autism really came when I sat in on my first diagnosis. So I was a social work intern at a developmental pediatric clinic, and I sat in when a pediatrician was telling the family that their child had autism, and they were not ready to hear that news. It was completely devastating for them. And as the social worker, the sole social worker, even though I was an intern, they turned to me and asked me what the next step was and what the resources were. And at that time, we had very little resources for families. And so I really kind of made it my mission since then to not only hold that family's hand, but to hold every family's hand. And I like to think of Low Country Autism Foundation as that phone a friend. So as soon as you get that diagnosis, I don't want any family to feel alone. I want them to know that we're your phone a friend. Call us, and we will be there for you every step of the way. We will connect you with people like Tony and all of our other local resources to really get you what you need and make you feel as a part of our community as we can.
Outstanding.
That's really
you
excellent.
Know, you mentioned something earlier that I wanted to talk to you about, and that's collaborating. You know, so many times we start a nonprofit or a foundation, and it seems like it gets competitive. One wants to outdo the other, and you know, I've always been a supporter of holding hands and coming together and kind of sharing ideas. Did you all run into any pushback as far as wanting to collaborate where there was another organization that maybe didn't want to help?
I think there is definitely that kind of attitude within some nonprofits. I feel as an autism community, we are really open to collaboration, but I also think that my attitude helps a lot with that. So I don't see anyone as competition. I mean, there's so many people out there that need services, and we're not serving everybody that needs them. So there is no need for competition. There is only collaboration. So fortunately, we have not had a lot of pushback when we've reached out to people to collaborate. And I really hope that, you know, that's not an ongoing issue for any nonprofits anywhere, because there's so many people that need the help.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well said. Well said. Now, you know, I hope to visit someday. I know, as I told Tony a long time ago, I was trying to form this autism summit, you know, where we all get together and collaborate and come up with one big idea to help all nonprofits who are helping kids and families on the spectrum, you know, mm-hmm. kind of come together and be better. But what I wanted to know is, what is the toughest thing that you've had to endure or go through since, you know, being the executive director there? What's one of the toughest things that you have to deal with?
Well, I think the toughest thing for me is realizing that we can't fix everything. So I think
right.
it's just my personal nature and as a social worker. And then now running this nonprofit that really, you know, if I have an idea, I can create a program. But I really have to step back and say, you know, is this a program that I could run well? Is this something that I can pull off as and we can pull off as an organization? So not being able to take everybody's needs and say, yes, I will create that program right away and serve this population, and really trying to fine tune exactly what we're doing so that we're doing it well and we're helping people. That's kind of been the biggest hurdle for me, is kind of just learning when to say yes.
Susan,
say,
oh my.
Hey, let's pass this off.
What a dilemma. And how do you, like, I think that a lot of our listeners who are actively involved in supporting the community can relate to that. I certainly know I can, and Eli and I have had conversations about this. So how do you do that? I want to know for myself here, Susan, because it's definitely something I struggle with. So share your wisdom.
I definitely think it's a process. I don't think I have the answer at this point, but I definitely think it's a process. You know, I inherited LAAF. I did not create LAAF. I'm not the founder of LAAF. So I got this organization with a lot of programs already established. And so really trying to weed out, you know, were we serving as many people as we could, and were we serving them well with best practices, is really how I narrowed down which programs we were going to focus on. And then, you know, kind of talking to the community and being out in the community and getting those kind of informal needs, partnered with some formal needs assessments, has really helped me narrow our vision for LAAF. And, you know, we do school-aged kids and younger kids really well. And Tony, you and your group do adults really well. And so, like you said, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. And that's where the collaboration comes in. So I think knowing that there's people like you and other organizations out there has helped me. And just being knowledgeable about what's available. So if somebody comes to me and says, you know, this is a need I have, and this is a program I'd like to see, knowing that there's already someone out there doing it has helped me say, okay, we don't need to do this, and this is who you need to go to. But it's definitely a process for sure.
Yeah, I can relate so much to that. You mentioned something else I think is really important, and that is the referral process. And I want to talk with you specifically about this, because I think you do it especially well. And I think referral is an art, and a lot of times people don't know how to do it, and they need to be taught how to do it. How, you know, so for those audience members out there who would like to maybe improve their own referral skills, or maybe they need to give some education to organizations in their communities because their organizations aren't mindful of the fact that referral is a really important piece of what they do. How did you get to the point where you actually referral and do referral so well? Give us some tips on that.
Yeah, so again, I think everything started with collaboration. So figuring out, you know, meeting with everybody that's within our kind of service provider umbrella and asking them, what is an appropriate referral for you? Knowing, you know, coming to that therapy office or that doctor's office and saying, who should I refer to you? What kind of patients, what kind of clients are you looking for? And really, I mean, we at Low Country Autism Foundation, we practice what we preach. So we have a program manual for my program coordinators, for myself, where we put down everybody's organizations and we put what the appropriate referral looks like for them. So when people call and they have a need and they have, you know, we need to meet that need for them, we can just very easily look at that list if we don't have it already memorized in our brain. So knowing what referrals are appropriate and then having a good enough relationship with the other service providers that you can make that referral and easily follow up on it. And so, you know, it's not most of the time people are just faxing referrals and they don't know which real person they're faxing it to. So really getting to know the people behind the companies and behind these other organizations and making that personal connection with them and introducing them if possible to the people you're making the referrals to, and then following up. And then, you know, that's the hard part. We all get busy, but really following up and saying, hey, I sent this a few weeks ago. Did you receive it? Have you worked with them? And that's another thing that I think sets my organization apart is we're very proactive, not only with the families that we serve, but with the referrals that we make as well, making sure that those go through and making sure that people get the services that we're referring them for.
Well, one thing you just mentioned that I have not heard before from an organization, which I think is really important, is you've created a system, not a major, big, difficult, complicated system, just a little one. When you have a book that's in place, then anybody who's in that organization, anybody at Low Country Autism Foundation, knows where that book is and can go there and do the referral. So it's not dependent on you as a person.
Right.
It's part of what you do as an organization. And any organization can do that and have the referral book. And I love how you ask that question. What is a good referral for your, you know, for your office or your organization or for your therapy? It's such a simple thing to do, but I think it really makes a difference.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, before we let you go, where can the listeners find you if they're looking to seek you out and get more information?
Our website and our Facebook page are our two biggest places where we communicate on the interweb. So our website is www.laafinc.org. So that's laughinc.org. And our website or our Facebook page is just facebook.com/laafinc. So Laugh Inc. And I did want to tell everyone, since you can access Facebook from anywhere, on April 25th, we are going to have Dr. Jane Charles, who's one of our top developmental pediatricians in our state. She will be doing a Facebook Live question and answer session on our Facebook page, and you can submit questions beforehand through our website, and all of that information is an event on our Facebook page as well. So that would be a good resource for people just looking to ask questions specifically of a developmental pediatrician.
That's fantastic, and she really knows her stuff. She knows her
yes,
stuff.
Yes, she does.
That would be a great opportunity.
Wow. Outstanding. Great. Well, I appreciate all the work that you are doing and continue to do. It inspires me and motivates me to continue to do what I do. And as I tell folks, you know, as an advocate, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. I'm still trying to educate. That's why I align myself with great folks like Tony and you. And so you are appreciated. So just know that. And we need you in this community to continue to do that and uplift those who need uplifting, because there are a lot of families that have no, that they don't have voices. And with what you're doing, it allows them to speak. So Tony and I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show and provide these families with information.
Oh,
yes,
thank you
Susan,
so much for those
so much.
Kind words. And thank you for having me. I really appreciate this format that you guys have set up to really spread the word and help and spread awareness. Thank you so much.
And you're always welcome back, so just know that, okay?
Always. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Susan was outstanding. She really knows her stuff. I mean, she's on it. And that's great to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like that she does really, she thinks things through, but she is very systematized with how, and deliberate with how she does things. And so, yeah, it's really great to have her be on the show and share with us how it is that she's managed to be successful in that role.
Absolutely. I know for me, you know, it's good hearing that, you know, because I tend to just start, you know, thinking things and then trying to act on them before there's a plan. So to hear her break
yeah.
things down, I think it's always great to hear, because, you know, you can go a little bit too far, especially if you haven't thought it through, you know, and I tend to get caught in that from time to time, wanting to help so many people and do so much. I tend to forget sometimes that there's a plan. You got to have a plan to do this before you act on it, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I'm glad she shared those tips with the listeners.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really makes
Absolutely.
A difference. It's about targeting your energy, so it's great. Yeah.
Yes, it really is. That's the key word, targeting your, you know, where you're trying to go and what you're trying to do. So outstanding stuff. Let's transition to questions of the week. We hadn't done questions of the week since the, we had a mishap where the show wasn't aired. So it's been about, what, two
mm-hmm.
weeks, I want to say? We didn't do questions.
Two or
so
three.
We have two.
Yeah.
About three, yeah. So we have two good questions this week that I was able to pick out of tons of questions. And thanks, by the way, to the listeners for, you know, flooding my inbox with questions. We get questions by the thousands, and I have to go through. Sometimes, you know, I get my email will kick back and say, you know, it'll start spitting some of them out. So some of the questions are the same. Some are slightly different. So let's start with Vinay Samesh in India. And he wants to know, how do you both do so much and still find balance in your life with a family? Vinay, that's a good question.
Especially with our topic today.
Yeah. I prioritize really well, I think, and I owe a lot of that to my mom and a lot of that to the military. I'm able to kind of really section things off that I need to get done while also remembering that the bulk of my time belongs to my family. So I always think about that. And when I'm out giving a speech or giving a lesson or playing in a tournament, I constantly think about that. And you know, what am I going to do next? What's coming up the following week or the following month? But the family, it's always first and foremost to me. It always comes first. So what about you, Tony?
Yes, I tend to break things down into really small pieces and then recognize that I don't have to do it all at once. I'm taking little baby steps towards my goal. And so as I do that, it helps me to feel like I'm making progress and I can see that progress just by breaking it down. That's really important for me, because It's not just about having the time to do everything, but it's about your mental space too, how you feel mentally about it. And if you're feeling overwhelmed or frustrated because you want to do things you can't get done, then that's not helping anybody. So I would say my number one thing is to break things down really smallly. And I write everything down. I write down what my goals are. I write down what my big vision picture is, so that when I have the little tasks, I can see how they're gradually but inevitably moving towards that bigger, some of my goals. You know, I have our long-term, but I won't be working specifically on them right now, but I know in my mind that, you know, that's coming down the line. Just to kind of play off what Susan said a little bit earlier about recognizing now is not the time, or maybe sometimes, you know, I don't need to take on this mission. I should give it to somebody else. It's good,
right,
too. But I love what you said about, you know, doing what your family needs first and having that be your focus.
Right.
It's really
Absolutely.
Important.
Good question from Vinay in India.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's take one more. Pamela in Connecticut. This is for you specifically, Tony. She wants to know, Tony, will you write more books in the future? And how hard was this process?
Yes. This particular book, Autism Translated, was really, it was harder than I thought it would be because I had to struggle with my own voice and point of view. And so it took a couple years of the writing process. Now, I took all of my resources and knowledge and research that I'd gathered through many years and condensed it into that one book. And that wasn't as, I thought that would be the hardest piece, is distilling it down to like the essence. But the really hard part was developing a voice that felt genuine to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my role as a person who is both, you know, a professional and a parent and on the spectrum. So that was hard to, you know, how to fit all that together. But yes, I am actually working on some more books. Right now I'm working on a memoir, and I'm developing some other books as well, A Healthcare Helper, which is a guide to help adults on the spectrum to collaborate better with their doctors and therapists. And
wow,
that's really exciting, and that's close to being finished right now. Eli, have you ever considered, you don't, unless you have a secret that I'm not aware of, you haven't written a book, correct?
No.
I don't know.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing. I want to write a book, all right? I just lose sight of the concept of how to go about it, but I have a lot to say.
Yes, you do.
As soon as I start thinking about this process, I get, I don't want to say cold feet, but it gets so personal. I feel like, okay, I'm going to open myself up to a lot of people with things that I struggle with, things that I don't struggle with.
Yes. It's vulnerable. It's so vulnerable. Yes. And that was why it was so hard for me to develop a genuine voice in my book. Because I really did feel vulnerable about, you know, the position I was taking. It took me a long time to come to terms with and accept where I was at with that. And when you put it out there in book form, you are vulnerable. It's scary.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. Because what I wanted to ask you was, were you able to put everything that you wanted into the book, or were there still pieces that you were not ready to share as of yet on your journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think I did put what I wanted into this book because this book was a very specific kind of book, which has the five steps and how to connect effectively with, you know, a loved one on the spectrum. And so I think I did say enough of what needed to be said to communicate the message. And there are other places that I've written about, like, my life or, you know, my experience with, you know, parenting, where I tell more and different stories or dig in deeper. And, you know, for example, bullying. We've had the theme of bullying that we've talked about a lot. But, you know, I don't bully in that book, but I write about it in other places where I've had my experiences with that. And so, I feel like I put enough for the message to get across. And then there are always other opportunities to, you know, share other pieces of the story in
Absolutely.
Places and ways that are a fit. But you and I are going to have to talk about your book, Eli.
I knew that you were going to say that.
Yes.
But
I know you knew.
I'm definitely up for it. You know, I think it'll help me in a lot of ways too, therapeutically, because I like releasing, especially to people that I know have my best interest at heart. I can just kind of pour
mm-hmm.
myself and get a real response. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
in writing a book, I just feel like it would help me immensely. So that's something we'll definitely, you and I, talk about off air, because, you know, I definitely want to make that happen. So that was a great question from Pamela. She kind of opened the floodgates there. I could have went on and on.
Yes, she did. we're out of time.
We're just
listeners
about
will
out
have
of
to
time.
Stay tuned for another episode for to hear the next chapter on all of that.
Absolutely. I would like to thank Susan Callahan from the Lowcountry Autism Foundation for being our guest today. It was great to get an insight on what she does and who she helps. We would like to thank the listeners for tuning in once again and making our show what it is. We really appreciate the love and support. We have another outstanding guest next week. And our guest next week, all I can tell you right now is that she's from Australia. So I'm excited about that. Tony knows a little bit about our guest next week, so I'll leave that at that. We wish you well. We hope you all have a great week. Get out in the community and make someone or something better. Tony, I almost forgot. What are you doing this week and this weekend?
I'm glad you didn't forget. Because tomorrow, the South Carolina Autism Society is having a live Facebook event in the evening where we are going to talk about girls on the spectrum. And so the listeners, if they're interested in hearing that or participating in the conversation, you can come to South Carolina Autism Society's Facebook page and ask your questions or just listen in and hear what people have to say about that really important topic.
Very good. Very good. And I will be playing in my tour event this weekend, and so I will be heading out of town shortly and hoping to play well and continue to build off the current success, so I'm excited about that. And again, thank you so much for listening to the show. We are all a community of folks trying to make each other better. Get out there and do it. Put a smile on somebody's face. It's really simple. If you see a homeless person on the street, $1, 50 cents, whatever you got, if you can spare it, give it. It really makes a difference, and you will be rewarded. So please think about that. And until next week, take care. God bless. This has been the Elijah Winfrey Show on Blog Talk Radio. Bye-bye.